Westside Baptist Church in Newnan, Georgia, brings you our weekly podcast. We hope you will be encouraged by our music and a message from the Word of God as we present our Sunday morning and Sunday evening services and our weekly broadcast by Dr. Melvin Payne. We thank you for listening.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room. And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. With truth and grace, and makes the nation prove the glories of His righteousness, and wonders of His love, and wonders of His love, and wonders of His love.
Amen. Don't you love the Lord? Say amen. Amen. Aren't you glad for this time of the year? Amen. I'm so glad about that. I'm sure he must have been surprised at where this road had taken him. Never in a million lives would he have dreamed of Bethlehem and standing at the manger. He saw with his own eyes the message from the angel come to life, and Joseph said, why me? Just a simple man of trade. Why him with all the rulers in the world? Why here inside this stable filled with hay? Why her? She's just an ordinary girl. This is such a strange way to save the world. To think of how it could have been if Jesus had come as he deserved. There would have been no Bethlehem, no lowly shepherds at his birth. But Joseph knew the reason love had to reach so far. And as he held the Savior in his arms, he must have thought, why me? I'm just a simple man of trade. Why him with all the rulers in the world? Why here inside this stable filled with hay? Why her? She's just an ordinary girl. Have to say, such a strange way to say the word. Now I'm not one to second guess what angels have to say, but this is such a strange way.
Christmas celebration. Good to see all. Man, it's good to see all these kids. We got kids everywhere. But good to see you adults as well. We're going to do things a little different today with the presentation. I saw little bits and excerpts of it, so I think you'll enjoy it. We're going to get a couple of songs with the choir and get them out of the way so you can enjoy the children. Cheryl Lomax, I'm going to ask her to come around this time since.
Grateful
Sing or do anything behind children because they won't remember nothing that we do or say, so we went first. But if you would, they've got a neat little presentation. As they get started, let's give them a hand this morning for working so hard. Which, absolutely.
Once upon a mountaintop, three little trees stood and dreamed of what they wanted to become when they grew up. The first little tree looked up at the stars and said, "I want to hold treasure. I want to be covered with gold and filled with precious stones. I'll be the most beautiful treasure chest in all the world." The second little tree looked out at the small stream trickling by on its way to the ocean. "I want to be traveling mighty waters and carrying powerful kings. I'll be the strongest ship in the world." The third little tree looked down into the valley below where the busy men and women worked in a busy town. "I don't want to leave the mountaintop at all. I want to grow so tall that when people stop to look at me, they'll raise their eyes to heaven and think of God. I will be the tallest tree in the world." One day, three woodcutters climbed the mountaintop. First woodcutter, he looked at the first tree and said, "This tree is beautiful. It is perfect for me. With a swoop of his shining axe, the first tree fell. Now I shall be made into a beautiful chest. I shall hold wonderful treasure, the first tree said. The second woodcutter looked at the second tree and said, This tree is strong. It is perfect for me. With a swoop of his shining axe, the second tree fell. Now I shall sail mighty waters, thought the second tree. I shall be a strong ship for mighty kings. The third tree felt her heart sink when the last woodcutter looked her way. She stood straight and tall and pointed bravely to the heavens, but the woodcutter never even looked up. Any kind of tree will do for me, he muttered. With a swoop of his shining axe, the third tree fell. The first tree rejoiced when the woodcutter brought her to a carpenter shop. But the carpenter fashioned the tree into a feed box for animals. The once beautiful tree was not covered with gold nor with treasure. She was coated with sawdust and filled with hay for hungry farm animals. The second tree smiled when the woodcutter took her to a shipyard. But no mighty sailing ship was made that day. Instead, the once strong tree was hammered and sawed into a simple fishing boat. She was too small and too weak to sail an ocean or even a river. Instead, she was taken to a lake. The third tree was confused when the woodcutter cut her into strong beams and left her in a lumber yard. What happened, the once tall tree wondered. All I ever wanted was to stay on top of the mountain and point to God. Many, many days and nights passed. The three trees nearly forgot their dreams. But one night, golden starlight poured over the first tree as a young woman placed a newborn baby in the feed box. I wish I could make a cradle for him, her husband whispered. The mother squeezed his hand and smiled at the starlight shone on the smooth, sturdy wood. The manger is beautiful, she said. And suddenly, the first tree knew she was holding the greatest treasure in the world. One evening, a tired traveler and his friends crowded into the old fishing boat. The traveler fell asleep as the second tree quietly sailed out into the lake. Soon, a thundering and crashing storm arose. The little tree shuddered. She knew she did not have the strength to carry so many passengers safely through the wind and through the rain. The tired man awakened. He stood up, stretched out his hand, and said, "Peace." The storm stopped as quickly as it had begun, and suddenly the second tree knew that he was carrying the King of heaven and earth.
Thank you.
Friday morning, the third tree was startled when her beams were yanked from that forgotten woodpile. She flinched as she was carried through an angry, jeering crowd. She shuddered when soldiers nailed a man's hand to her feet. She felt ugly, harsh, and cruel. But on Sunday morning, when the sun rose and the earth trembled with joy beneath her, the tree knew that God's love had changed everything. It had made the third tree strong. And every time people thought of the third tree, they would think of God. That was far better than being the tallest tree in the world. From the manger to the cross, the story doesn't end at the manger. The story doesn't end at the cross. Yes, Jesus is the reason for the Christmas season, but let's not forget that his life was much more. Because of his life and his death and his resurrection, we have the promise of eternal life with him in heaven. How wonderful. Blessed be the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Wasn't that wonderful? We're proud of our children around here. Most of them come in bust, and I congratulate and thank those bus drivers and those people who go out and knock on doors to invite them to come to the house of the Lord. I'm used to a pulpit. I can stand behind it, and if my knees start knocking, you don't see them. Well, we are about to celebrate that great, wonderful event that happened a few hundred years ago. Jesus. The song says Jesus is the reason for the season, and absolutely, this world has corrupted the meaning of the season. It's not happy holidays. It should be happy holy day. I'm going to use just a few passages of scripture. I'm going to be brief this morning. And the reason that I'm going to be brief this morning, I'm looking into the eyeballs of those who realize there's food in the back. If you would turn your Bible, or get your Bible ready, I'm going to use just a few chapters of Scripture, and you might want to turn as I tell you what Scripture I'm going to be using. But I want us to look at the night of miracles. It's already been presented in the little presentation today, but I want to tell you that all of history has been moving toward that night. When you read the Old Testament account, it all started in the garden when the fall took place. But you see, God did not give up on man at that time. He had a plan. All the roads of Scripture lead to one little tiny insignificant town called Bethlehem. We had the privilege of going to that town. Mike and myself, I was looking for Mike. I thought the rapture had taken place. He's not sitting there. A few years back, We had the privilege of going to, not only to Bethlehem per se, but we also had the privilege of going down a little narrow steps. You could tell they were steps of antiquity. They had been there for many, many years. The guide led us to the lower level. There had been a big cathedral built on the top of this area. And as we descended, we were introduced to the very spot where the manger sat, where baby Jesus lay. There's a large silver star right in that very spot. I want to tell you, my dear friend, it's real today. This world says hogwash. I want to tell the world, you may say hogwash, but you had better be blood washed. We see at a particular time there was a young couple by the name of Joseph and Mary. I will not go into all the scriptural identification, the reason that this young couple was brought together, but it was orchestrated by God himself. Did you know, dear friend, that you are not here by accident? You are here by divine purpose of Almighty God. And what you do with this opportunity for the Lord Jesus Christ is going to determine your destiny for all eternity. The Ancient of Ages has been waiting for them to arrive, Joseph and Mary, at this particular spot in that little insignificant town called Bethlehem. Micah, over in chapter 5, verse 2, he gives us the prediction of what's going to take place. He says, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah," it was a very, very, even in this modern time, it was still a very small town, a community, if you will. Out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel. Now, my dear friend, I want to tell you, Jesus Christ is going to be more than just ruler in Israel. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, whose going forth has been from of old, from everlasting. In other words, Michael was simply saying this. Jesus Christ was there before, and he'll always be there at the end. If there ever is an end, it may be an end of your life, physically. But you see, after death, it is appointed once a man to die, and after death, the judgment. Every single one of us are going to stand before Almighty God one day in judgment. But I'm so glad that there was a way provided that we would escape the sin of Adam and Eve. You see, they had innocent blood and animal sacrifices that temporarily rolled their sins back, covered their sins. But I want to tell you, my dear friend, this birthing, this young baby, is going to go to a cross. That's a message for another day. Look at the miracle of the humble birth. In Luke, if you want to turn that to chapter 2, and I'll be taking a good portion of these scriptures. Verse 3 through 7 says, "And all went to be taxed, every one of them to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea and to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David." You see, the kingly line all the way down to the King of Kings, my dear friend. It says to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn and wrapped him in swaddling clothes. Young ladies, the young couple that just has, I don't think y'all going to wrap that little baby in swaddling clothes. Swaddling meant to take long strips of cloth and start and bind and wrap and wrap and wrap. And swaddling clothes, that was the thing that they would do in those days right after birth. It says, "And laid him in a manger." Hey, listen. It says because there was no room for them in the inn. You know what's sad today? It started with there was no room for him in the inn. But it's sad to say today that America is saying there's no room for him in America. But I still stand and declaim the victory of Jesus Christ. Regardless of being politically incorrect, I am scripturally correct today. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he is coming again soon. Christ came down from heaven to a stable. He entered the world from the womb of a virgin. It was made by him. John chapter 1 verse 10 says, he was in the world, this cosmos, and the world, this cosmos, was made by him, and the world knew him not. Oh, listen. We've preached the gospel through the years. We've seen the rise of Christianity. We've had our glory days. We've seen revivals. We've seen churches built. We've seen all these things rise, and we're at the end. But I want to tell you, my friend, look at his coming. He's coming again. For the fragrance of heaven to the stench of this little stall he came. From the beauties of heaven to an insignificant stall there in Bethlehem. From the worship of angels. You see, the angels proclaimed him and announced his birth and said, and so the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the angels had declared him to be God. It says from heaven, he came to a little old cow stall. Can you imagine that? Now for you city slickers, you don't know what a cow stall smells like. But I grew up on a dairy farm, and I want to tell you this one thing. You hadn't missed a thing. But you see, all the way from heaven down to this little insignificant place. Luke chapter 8, chapter 2, verse 8 through 14 goes on to give us this account. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about. Then they were so afraid. I've had people say, well, Brother Melvin, why were those shepherds so afraid when they looked up into the heavens and they saw these angels? Well, let me ask you, how would you feel when all of a sudden you was out in the cow pasture or out on the mountainside or cliff or whatever, and you looked up and all of a sudden there was a host of angels in the sky. And they were beginning to sing. I guarantee you, half of you would be picking them up and putting them down. Seeing how fast you could run to the telephone and call 911. And there was in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came unto them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. They were so afraid. The angel said unto them, fear not. Listen today, what do we have to fear? We don't have to fear God. I guarantee you we have to fear what Satan can do to our lives. We have to fear the consequences of not receiving Jesus Christ. The angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Now, I've had people say, why in the world do y'all send missionaries to all these other parts of the world? Why are you just spending all that kind of money sending them over there? Reason. They're spreading the good news. Jesus Christ died for them just like he did for us here in America. So for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in the manger. Suddenly there was with him the angels in the multitude of the heavenly host praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest and peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Look at what he'd left to come to this world. The worship of the angels, the singing of the heavenly choir, fellowship with God the Father himself, the beauties of heaven to come to this low ground of sin and sorrow. to a people who had been birthed in sin. He came to get us out of that situation. He came not to live, but he came to die. Listen, he came from the fragrance of heaven to the stench of a stable. He came from the worship of the angels to the rejection of the innkeeper. The innkeeper says, I have no room for you here, but I have a castle in the back. Do we not treat Jesus that way sometimes? We don't have room for him in our personal life, but hey, on the backside, just hang around a little bit. But my life and my activities and my fun and my family and my are going to come first, but Jesus, you stay way back there. Isn't that the average mental state or mode of lifestyle for Christians today? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. But we are living in a day when our personal fun, our family entertainment, our kids' activities in school, and after school, all the other things that the devil has put into the path to take our kids' attention and our time, because you know we got to be there with our kids to support our kids. But the Lord's day. It says, fail not to assemble thyself together as the manner of some is, and more so as you see that day approaching. Do you not see that day approaching? It's on us today. But yet we still wallow in our self-pleasures and our selfish attitudes and give God the crumbs of the leftovers. He does not want your crumbs. He wants your life. Look to the left, the world he come, from the fragrance of heaven to the stench of the stall, from the worship of angels to the rejection of the inn, from the songs of the angels to the braying of the donkey, from the robe of royalty to the wrappings of rags, from the manger matching in heaven to the manger on earth. See what he left. See what he left. Angels have been busy since the fullness of time has come. Gabriel had visited Zechariah and Mary, had announced to Zechariah and then told Mary what was going to happen in her own body. The angel of the Lord had advised Joseph in a dream. So you see, Joseph was about to put Mary away because, you see, he found that she was with child and he was about to put her away. But listen, the angel revealed to Joseph this wonderful event that was going to transpire. Jesus, God, the Son of God, God very God himself, was going to be that little baby boy. Whereas at this place where Samuel had anointed David king, where Ruth had gleaned in the fields of Boaz. Notice this very carefully. That spot where the angels had appeared. That same spot where Rachel's tomb was. Mike, and where's Mike at today? He's usually sitting over there when I'm using him as an illustration. Mike Williams and I had the privilege of going. We had the privilege of going to Bethlehem. And as we traveled that road to Bethlehem, we went right by Rachel's tomb, right outside of Bethlehem. It's the same spot where Samuel had anointed David to be king, in that same area right there. See, everything was happening. This was a focal point. This was a center of a position where God was using people to bring together his mighty work that was going to be performed there in the manger there at Bethlehem, where Samuel had anointed King David, and where Ruth had gleaned in the fields of Boaz, where the shepherds were watching in the sheep by night. And when the angels had announced his birth, my dear friend, listen, this miracle. Now see it. The miracle of God works in the hearts of men today. As we bring this message to a close, listen very carefully. In Luke chapter 2, verse 15 through 20, And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them unto heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even into Bethlehem and see the thing which has come to pass, which the Lord had made known unto us. They came in haste, with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. We cringe at the thought of royalty laying in a cow stall, straw pen, if you please. But I want to tell you, he was more than just a babe. He was the King of Kings. He was the Lord of Lords. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad, saying, which was told of them concerning the child. In other words, when they had seen, they had gone and seen, the shepherds had seen for themselves, had observed the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. They were not shut out. They told the story, the account. You see, as born again believers, God has placed upon us the responsibility of spreading the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Brother Melvin, I was not called to be a preacher. God didn't call everybody to be a pulpiteer. I was not called to be a Sunday school teacher, a Bible teacher. God did not give everybody that ability. But I want to tell you this one thing. God gave you a tongue and the ability to speak. And he says to the Christians, the born again Christians, go ye into all the world. Now your world today is the surroundings around you. That's your world today. On your workplace, in your workplace. Well, brother, they'll fire me. They'll fire me if I were to say anything about Jesus. Well, I want to tell you, I would put them to the test. You say, well, what if I get fired? Who are you trusting in? I'm telling you what, when you put God first in your life, he'll take care of those other things. He'll take care of your needs today. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the Christ. And all of them had heard that heard it wondered at those things, those things which were told them concerning the child. And all they that heard it were wondered at those things which they were told by the shepherds and Mary. Listen, Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. You see, Mary already knew. But she did not tell. She kept it to herself. And she thought on these things, knowing that she was holding very God himself in her arms. I want to tell you today. Shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it were told unto them. In closing, I want to tell you, Christ is born. You may not believe it. This world laughs at us. This world will promote other religions and say, well, now we should be all inclusive. After all, there are many gods. I agree with you, there are many gods. You say, Brother Melvin, what do you mean many gods? Well, there's the God of the job, the God of the family, the God of fun. There's a lot of gods in this world today. But I wanted to introduce you today to the one and only God, and his name is Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is born, the greatest miracle of all, in closing. Like the shepherds, many will come for God, to Jesus. Like the wise men, many will worship him today. I want to ask you this pointed question. Do you know this Jesus that I have preached about today, this Savior? If you don't know him in the free pardon of sin, you can know him today. There are not enough gifts under the Christmas tree to take the place of the gift that God has for you. If you don't know this Jesus today, let me say one more time. Time's running out. At this point, I could jump into prophecy and I could tell you things that are happening in this world, even in our nation right now, that are in the Bible. He has come. He did go. And he is coming again. Like it or lump it. Now, Brother Melvin, I'm not so sure about all that stuff. Wait till you're in the flames of hell and you'll know that there's a reality to it. But it's too late then. It'll be too late then. You need to come to Jesus today. Maybe you're here and you don't know this Jesus. We're going to give you an opportunity in just a minute to come down and kneel in this altar and have Christians take the Bible and read to you scriptures and tell you the plan of salvation and how you can be birthed into the family of God today. Maybe you're here today and you've just been wobbling on the axle. We're having a lot of wobbling taking place today. A lot of Christians, I believe born-again Christians, that have just been sidetracked by things. You put things ahead of Almighty God. You ought to get in this altar today and repent and ask God to forgive you. Get back on track and live the rest of your life with the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever your need is, we give this opportunity. We're asking the song leader to come. We're asking the musician to come and get ready with a song of invitation. As we begin to bring this message to a close. Every head bowed, every eye closed. No one moving around. I realize we have little children. That's all right. Don't worry about those kids. God loves little children too. But I want you to think very seriously. Church members, listen to me very carefully. Too many of us are slack on the axle. Too many of us are wobbling around. We are letting our own personal priorities take place of Almighty God. This is a message of warning. God has placed this message in my lips today to warn you. You're going to be head. Hey, listen, Christian. You're not going to be judged on the other side. You're going to be judged on this side. God knows how to bring you to the whipping block. As they begin to play on the instrument softly, Heavenly Father, I've preached the message that you've declared me to bring this morning. And I realize, God, that though my efforts are feeble, humanly speaking, your grace and your power is awesome. And Heavenly Father, you are almighty. I pray in the name of Jesus' name that you'll deal with the hearts of your people, Lord. I can't make anybody. I can't force anybody. Heavenly Father, that would not be any good. That would not be of no value if they're just following because of what I say or do. Lord, it's what you in heaven say. You're God today. Manifest yourselves in the heart of your people. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to begin to sing a verse of song. You might need to come and pray for a need today. You might want to come for yourself. You might want to come on behalf of a friend that you've been praying for. Down in this altar is a good place to contact heaven right now. That's right, people already moving. Sing, son.
Just
you obey God today. You obey God today.
With
you obey God today.
One plea.
Yes, yes, yes. Yes, 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 yes. You obey God today.
Yeah.
You sure that's your baby?
Merry Christmas, everybody. We'll see y'all later.
And Happy New Year. Hey, man.
This is the prettiest thing I've seen in a long time. Looks like a mama. A mama. What is her name? Olivia. Denise. That's a beautiful name. Stuart, of course. But we're going to have the dedication right now. We're dedicate this baby to the Lord. And she's not joining the church. But this couple just wants to place her under the care and the protective care of the Lord Jesus Christ until she comes to that age of accountability. Now, this fellow sitting right here, for y'all that don't know, he's the uncle. And I think it's just fair and... It should be that he pray the dedication prayer. So come right on over here, sir.
Well, technically, I'm Melissa's uncle and Olivia's great uncle.
Well, that's an uncle.
And I am great, by the way.
See what I have to put up with.
And we do, as church, want to give you this dedication Bible to commemorate this moment. And let's pray, please. Let's not forget, first and foremost, what the book of Proverbs tells us, that to train up a child in the way he should go, and when he gets old, he will not depart from it. We can lay into that promise. Our kids can do some pretty stupid things sometimes, but we can love them and pray for them and train them up. And the Bible's telling us they'll come back. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. And in this season, Father, where we're celebrating your birth, we thank you, Lord, that we're also able to celebrate and be so happy over Olivia's birth. Father, I ask that you'll bless this couple, that you'll lead them and guide them. Help them, Lord.